Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
You kind of went up a little to help you thrive. So it was like, that's the difference you make. It's like a difference in occasional inflection. So, yes. To help you thrive. So I like
Well, got to mix it up in the way that I can for you. All right. Okay. So what we're going to be talking about starting today and over the next several odd number episodes in a mini series that we're going to be doing is the role that denominations, networks, and churches have in church planting.
Interesting.
And I mean, this is something that that was written in Planting Missional Churches. You know, we... Yeah, we regularly, third edition, right? Second edition, second third edition.
I don't know. Depends on who you ask. It's kind of, you know, people listen like, what are you talking about? Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. And then with our Church Planting Leadership Fellowship, I mean, this is something that we are just constantly wrestling with and in on the ground with denominations and networks and wrestling that out. But really, from a broader church planter and church planting perspective, and I don't think we've talked about the role that denominations, networks, and churches have in church planting recently. So the thing that really kicked this off was an article that I read on your site about the Global Methodist Church, the conservative United Methodist breaking away from the United Methodist to start the Global Methodist Church. So maybe talk to us a little bit about that, and then we'll get into maybe just from there, like what role should the Global Methodist Church have in church planting, and not just them in particular, but broader denominations these days?
Yes, so let me say I'm not an expert on the Global Methodist Church. I am not a Methodist. But I am an institutionalist. I am a denominationalist. I wrote the cover story for Christianity Today on denominationalism, is there a future, 10 years ago. And what's interesting is there's a reason for that. So, you know, if you had been around, you know, I've been in pastoral ministry for 30 plus years, and how many, you know, people have told me that denominations are dead, and there's no future in them. And a lot of the people who said those things are now, their movements have sort of come and gone. So, you know, so I think you have to acknowledge the persistence of denominations and denominationalism. Now, that doesn't mean that it's staying the same. It's certainly changing. But, you know, if you would have said 10 years ago that the SEND network, which is the North American Mission Board, which is Southern Baptist, or the Church Multiplication Network, which is Assemblies of God, would be significant players in church planting, I would say everyone would probably say, no, their denominations are dying, but they're not. They're resurgent. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the reason they're resurgent is they're resilient. They persevere. So now the Global Methodist thing, for those who don't know, so it's a little tricky. There's a whole debate going on inside the denomination, and there was going to be a vote. They were going to have a meeting. They postponed it, and they postponed it again. So the end result of those meetings would be a split. They're not using that term in their, you know, official documents, but United Methodist Church is going to keep. United Methodist Church will persevere as a mainline Protestant progressive denomination. So, you know, what's like so many other denominations today? What's multiple things? You know, it's. I think it's a mistake to just say it's around same-sex marriage or ordination of persons who are gay. I think it's more to do with a view of Scripture, and then a view of Scripture then shapes your view of how you respond on multiple issues, including that issue. So what's happened is there's, which is, you know, when the Episcopal Church lost so many of its churches, and they mainly eventually formed in together what's called the Anglican Church in North America, they went to war with their departing congregations. And it was heartbreaking, you know, particularly under the presiding bishop, Catherine Jefferts Shorey. They just sued everybody, and the lawsuits are still going on. And oh, wow. I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. Episcopal Church has been around a long time, has a lot of property. Whereas, so the United Methodist Church said, let's do a better path. Let's have a you know, an option for churches to depart, not just churches, but conferences. And so they started working towards this plan, and it's not without controversy. And what's interesting is kind of the people who, the actually the vote, which is kind of unusual over time, but the vote was actually won by the, and this is called, there's different plans, a traditional plan, different plans. And then there's a modified traditional plan. Anyway, you probably don't need all those details. Mm-hmm. But the end result is that this group now, call, it used to be the mostly the Wesley Covenant Association. Again, keeping in mind, I'm not an expert, so if I get this wrong, please forgive me. But now soon to be renamed as the Global Methodist Church, which reflects the reason that United Methodist Church didn't go in the same way, for example, as Episcopal Church, United Church of Christ, other mainline denominations, is it's a global denomination. So what you and I would consider as evangelicals, Orthodox, little O Orthodox, in you know Russia and in Africa and in other places among Methodists, sort of said, no, we're not. We're not going to move on some of these issues. We're not going to change our view of Scripture, therefore change our view of other things. So the new denomination is going to get a, well, I mean, depending on how this plays out, but there's a significant dividing of assets. And part of what the Gold Methodist Church is going to do is take millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, and use that for church planting focus. So I think you're going to see a major player in church planting come, particularly in the North American context, come out of this, and probably in the global context as well, come out of this. And, you know, in the reality is some of the most vibrant churches in the United Methodist Church will leave and go with the Global Methodist. And it'll be, you know, evangelical in its, you know, evangelical is a word right now, is a challenging word to use in some context. But that's kind of where, so back to your bigger question is what does this mean? Well, I think it's a reminder that churches, eventually churches read the Bible, Christians in churches read the Bible, they see the Great Commission. The Great Commission is given to the church, and they pretty quickly realize that one church can't do the Great Commission, so you end up with partnerships. And, you know, in the nascent form, that tends to become networks, and then networks eventually institutionalize and formalize and become denominations. If you're old enough, you saw that in the Vineyard. You know, they call themselves, start as a network, they now call themselves, they use the language denomination to describe themselves. And if the denomination is continually asking, what's our missional purpose? How do we stay focused on that? It'll continue to prioritize church planting. You know, the challenge is it gets caught up in a lot of other things. But yeah, so I think ultimately it's a reminder that denominations can and do have a significant place to play. You know, we host, you and I host and others, we host the Church Planting Leadership Fellowship. And we say that 75% of the church planting in North America is done by the leaders in that room. But the vast majority of them are denominational leaders. Yeah. Because you've got, you know, the Assemblies of God has national church planting leaders, and then they have district leaders in church planting. They have churches involved in church planting. And it's scale-wise much larger than networks. And we're for networks too, but and networks are denomination-like. But associationalism is the technical term. Churches associate for the Great Commission, and that's why denominations exist.
Yeah, yeah. So then for, no, but it was good.
Got a little passionate about that.
Well, it's new news, right? And I'm sure most of our listeners, this will be the first time they're hearing it, or maybe the first time explained, even with that focus in and around church planting. That's going to be awesome with the Global Methodist Church moving forward. So, but for our church planters or potential church planters listening in, and they're like, okay, you know, I get denominations. I don't know. Like, I know this one gives me this much money and that one might give me that much more money, but really, Ed, convince me why I should plant with a denomination versus some of these other people that I know who are seeming to do really well and are actually non-denominational. Like, what would you say, because there is that narrative in and around the church planting world.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm no longer in the convincing mode. In other words, I used to be like the go-to guy in my denomination to convince young leaders to stay. Now the world I work in is just a little bit different too. I would say that denominations have to choose, and my denomination has done much better. This is 10, 15 years ago. My denomination has done much better in engaging and keeping next generation leaders. However, I would say that the reason that church planters might consider being a part of the denomination is I think ultimately, I think we have to kind of walk a journey with, you know, what do we, being a part of the denomination, what does it accomplish? And to me, my denomination accomplishes greater access to global missions resources. So, you know, I give through my denominations. We have a cooperative giving plan. So I give through that, and that supports international missions. I'm deeply thankful for that. I give to, you know, support North American missions. So for me, it's a question of what is the most effective, the most effective way to cooperate for the Great Commission. And I think that a denomination is part of that. I would say too that, you know, there are some people might also say, well, a better way to do that is through a network which has a greater focus. So what happens in, you know, people can't see this, but right now, because we've got this new Zencaster, we record this on Zencaster, and the new Zencaster has videos. It's the first time Daniel and I are seeing each other via video, and I didn't know you actually record like in front of a closet door. But there you are.
Yeah.
But right now, I got in my hand, as Daniel can affirm, basically it's a, let's pretend it's a yo-yo, right? So you take a yo-yo, and as you swing it around, what happens is it goes, it wants to go out. It's got a centrifugal force. And this is not technically true. Physics majors, don't send me letters. It's got a centrifugal force sort of pushing it out. But also the string, as I'm swinging around the fake yo-yo, the string is exercising another force called a centripetal. So it's actually kind of pulling it in, if you will. The string holds the yo-yo so the yo-yo doesn't fly off. So almost every movement starts with a greater centrifugal outward energy.
Yeah.
And there's church planting, there's global missions and more. So over time, what happens is the string, I mean, the string is not unimportant, right? So think about the local church, the string, who's working with the children's ministry? Who's setting up the chairs? You know, that's all string in this metaphor, but the outward focus is what you want. Well, over time, denominations focus more and more and more on the string. And so what happens is one day they wake up and there's hardly any centrifugal outward energy left. And it's just who's dealing with this part of the string or that part of the string. And this is where the constant refocusing on missional purposes really matters. Now, when denominations are focused on missional purposes, they're powerful tools of God's work. And that's to me what I want. That's one of the things I worked for in my own denomination. I spoke in my own denomination, I don't even know, 10, 15 years ago, 2007. So almost 15 years ago, and I said a few things, first time I ever got to take a whack at the denomination, and I got up and I said, from this very pulpit, we've preached out a whole generation of innovative and contemporary pastors. I said, this is the only place I go every year that makes me feel young and thin, and they all laughed and whatever. And then I kept coming back to, you know, we've got to get back to engaging young leaders. We're going to get back to church planning. We're going to get back to diverse expressions of ethnic diversity and more. And, you know, first time of a bunch of times they invited me to speak at the national meeting. So for me, that constant call back to that centrifugal outward mission and that constant question of what's the balance between the string, which is necessary, right? So there's a pension plan in most denominations, right? There's a health plan in most denominations. There's theological guidelines in most denominations. Those all matter. They're all part of the string. But when the string's all that matters, then what? Why be a part of it? So what happens is people go out and form networks, which they say, we're not a denomination. And then 20 years later, they're a denomination. Yeah, and then they start struggling with how much of the string. Anyway, you get the point at this point.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Did you like my yo-yo illustration? I know that, you know. You got to see it on video. But most people didn't see it.
Yeah, like, that's right. with your Apple Watch charger.
It was an Apple Watch charger. But don't tell, it ruined the image. People had a picture in their head. Because I didn't say it was yo-yo. I said it's like a yo-yo-like device.
But yes,
it
has like that's a right. Fan.
So my question for you is, did you like that? Did it help explain or not?
No, it was good. It was good. And for me, I was like, I always mix up centripetal and centrifugal. So.
Yeah, centrifugal's out, centripetal's in. And in this case, actually, neither. I mean, the string doesn't really exercise a centripetal force. It's all a word picture. But stay with me, and just hopefully it helped people. So denominations are good. I'm not the denominational recruiter because I work all kinds of denominations.
Yeah, no, for sure.
College Billy Graham Center. But I would say that people have written off denominations for the 30 years I've been involved in church planning, and denominations still do most of the church planting in the U.S. today. And I'm going to say, you know, we just launched a partnership with Acts 29. We're for that, right? We're we're for, you know, we love what ARC's doing, right? Planting churches. We love what Calvary Chapel's more network-like. And, you know, the Calvary Chapel leaders are involved in our graduate program. So all of these things are good expressions. But associationalism, big words in this podcast today, associationalism flows out of a commitment to a Great Commission because you can't do it with one local church. You need others.
That's right. That's right. All right. So next episode, we are going to be digging into the role of networks in church planning. But just last words, I know we're running a little bit long on this episode, but just some last words. So there are a lot of denominations and our church planners listening in or potential church planners listening in. There's that theological side of things being like, hey, where do I land or where am I comfortable with theologically? And you can make decisions from that perspective. Sometimes people make decisions to go with a particular denomination and plant with them because that's the one they grew up in. But when they're particularly saying, okay, you know what, Ed, I've come down to theologically, I'm comfortable in this denomination and I'm also comfortable in this denomination. And they've gone through that side of things. What other questions should they be asking? And you're not convincing them to go with the denomination because they've already narrowed it down to the two that they would theologically feel comfortable in. What other questions should they be looking for?
Yeah, I think ultimately the health of denomination, you know, and that's I say that right now because, you know, my denomination is not particularly healthy at times. There are significantly healthy parts of the denomination. Mm. So I would say the health of the denomination, what drives the denomination? Again, my denomination is often driven by controversy and conflict in its annual meeting. So it's hard to sometimes say, hey, be a part of the church planning movement that's here. But partly what's happened is, you know, with the Send Network and, you know, and North American Mission Board, there's been like a place inside, a haven inside of the denomination for people who don't want to, you know, be driven by every theological conflict being, you know, brought out on the floor of the convention. The other thing too is you have to remember that in, and this is, you know, we started with the Global Methodists, right? So a lot of the Global Methodists just tired of fighting, you know, it's, you know, they want to get to mission and unfortunately the delay of their meeting makes it longer and longer. So I think ultimately, and that's why I think what you'll find is some people who are, you know, as theologically aligned with the Global Methodists won't actually join the Global Methodists because they'll be like, I got to get out of this, you know. So part of it is, but I would just say to those Global Methodists or people in my denomination or others, it's worth it to work through those things. There's always a crazy uncle at the family meeting, and don't let them define the mission and the movement, but really, you know, help focus on these things that, you know, the centrifugal nature and partnering together for gospel work. And I think that if the Global Methodists do that, I think that they'll have a great future. I think if the Assemblies of God keeps doing that, Southern Baptists keep doing that, Wesleyans keep doing that, they'll have a great future. If they don't, the Lord will raise up others. But I'm of the belief that it's worth working towards keeping that centrifugal outward focus in the long run.
Love it. Love it. Well, thanks again for listening into this episode. Next episode in two from now, because the odd numbers right now, Ed and I are going on this mini series. The even numbers, Todd and I are doing another mini series. So in two episodes from now, 579, we're going to continue this conversation and talk about the role of networks in church planning. Thanks again for listening in. We'll catch you next time.